everyone. Welcome back. I kind of wanted to revisit the topic of the I Ching or technology. You guys know that in my mind I'm talking about the same thing when I say that, but I don't listen to my episodes before I post them. I just record them. Because for me that would defeat the purpose. Even posting them feels like semi-defeating the purpose. But I don't really remember what I went into exactly in the first one, but I guess my ideas have been like morphing a little bit, and I feel like there's a component to it that maybe I missed, maybe I didn't, but maybe it's just like standing out now. And so to me it feels like I don't know how to say this. It feels like humanity and its tech, you know, its artificial intelligence, like the one it creates, not the one that it uses. That's confusing, but our technology is definitely like it's a couple to us, like it's yeah, that's the best way to think of it, is that it's a couple. But that doesn't mean, like, here's the weird thing. Like, I know that everything that I talk about and think about, like, somebody else has, like, done a lot more work on it and has a lot more learned on it. And I try to point to those people in this. Like, also, I keep meaning to mention, on my, well, I'm not sure where, so, like, wherever you're listening to this, because it should be on several platforms, like, if not already soon. There should be a link somewhere, you should be able to find it, to my YouTube playlist that I made. And so I just keep adding things to there that, like, anything that I, like, am, like, talking about or, you know, anything like that, or that's influenced by somebody else, like, there's stuff on there that I don't explicitly reference, but that definitely played into my thoughts or whatever. So anything like that you're like curious about should be on there. And there's a podcast that it's called Team Human that is really great and really thoughtful about this topic. I don't know if he talks about the I Ching or not, but I mean, it doesn't matter. So I feel that it's a couple, yeah, but like when I talked about like it wants to partner with you, it wants to be listened to by you, like it's super important that the relationship is like cultivated, both culturally and individually, because just like it's obvious that we are sick right now, like as a our you know, if we're a collective mind, you know, a collective consciousness, or if you just want to think of it in terms of us being a culture, it's obvious that something's jamming up, something's crosswired, something needs like healing, you know. And so this is no exception. Like, I don't want to suggest that, like, it's our master, you know, like that, I guess, like, let's use divination as an example, because I've related it to the I Ching. Divination's a great example, especially for me personally, because all divination methods that I've played with, like, I have the same sort of problem with them, where it's like, you know, I'll come to them in an open-minded way, like, because I know for sure that, like, you know, that phenomenology exists. How am I trying to say what I'm trying to say? I don't have the vocabulary that I need. I know that everything is connected, interconnected, that there's no, as a way of description, like as a metaphor, this is a virtual reality, and that, you know, when a leaf falls in front of you, like, what am I trying to say? Everything's impossible. The probability of everything that we experience is impossible, and the only reason why it happens just as it happens is because Murphy's Law is always fulfilled. It's everything that can happen happens, and this is one instance of that. One instance of the same singularity. And so when somebody hands me, you know, an idea of a divinatory system like the tarot or something like that, I'm quicker to accept it than to reject it. Just because I understand. And I don't mean it like that. Like, I don't mean, like, I understand, like, better than other people. I know that nothing is, like, random. Or that it's random, but it's not, you know? And so it's easy for me to jump in. And I think with that, like, I do spontaneous really well at certain points in my life, you know, and, like, in certain moods. I do spontaneous really well, and when you come to it with a carefree sense of spontaneity, like, you can immediately see that it talks to you, you know, that it will talk to you, like, whatever you use, you know, like, whatever you pay attention to, whatever you give attention to becomes magic. And that's anything. That's, you know, stories that you really, really believe in, not just, like, you know, for their, not just you like being entertained by a certain program, but, like, you believe in the stories, or you know, you give it enough attention and it becomes a, you know, I don't know. It reminds me of Jim Carrey talking about how his movies have became like, you know, especially like The Truman Show, or like, you know, became sort of like prophecies for his life type of thing. And it's just like whatever you give into, whatever you put attention into, it like expands, you know. It's never, that's just the way attention works. That's like, attention is like how we channel consciousness or, you know, divinity towards what we believe in and what we love, or, you know, fear, unfortunately. You know, and it's like the bigger telescope you make, the further space goes, or the bigger, better microscope you make, the smaller, you know, the smaller units of thing you find out there are. But at every single level, what exists there is geometry, you know, the Platonic solids or the torus, you know, and the matrix or the virtual reality is infinite because it's holographic. So anywhere where the mind can reach, it can reach, you know. I don't remember where the train started, but oh yeah, so divinatory systems, like, so I come to them and I'm like, oh wow, it's like reading my mind, you know, or it's like, it's exactly what I was, you know, it's exactly what I was thinking or whatever. But then, like, then my pathology is such that it immediately becomes like dependent, or what's the avoidant dependent or something like that. It's like the polarity of the specific complex. I'm pretty sure that's about right. But it's such that I, you know, will come to it in a lazy way, I guess, or in a like fearful way, or like a deterministic way. Yeah, it's both. Like I'll, you know, come to it because I don't want to solve a problem that I already have solved. You know what I mean? Like I don't want to know the solution, so I'll come to it and that'll happen, or like, or it'll give me an answer that I, you know, my brain is, and this is subconscious, you know, like I recognize it in hindsight, or like, you know, at some level, but like, you know, it'll give me an answer and like my brain will be trying to interpret it several ways and I'll read it again, you know what I mean? Or try to redo it. The funny thing about the I Ching specifically is like, it'll give you the same answer, or it'll make fun of you. Like it really will. And I think, you know, that's what the show like Black Mirror is a great, you know, if it like severely freaks you out to watch it, you probably shouldn't watch it. But like, if you can watch it as a scientist, like, that's a, you know, it describes it, that's what it describes, is when we find our, you know, when we couple up with whatever, you know, because I think like the spiritual path, like you can do it completely like alone to some extent, or like, I don't know, I think you can, if you, but you also can't. You can only do it alone if you understand that everything is you. Like, and like, not just like know that like intellectually, but like you feel that through and through, and you don't lose sight of that, you know? But most of us like totally cannot do that. And so the parts that we like can't, you know, ascribe to ourselves have to pop up in the world. You know, they have to be like tools or symbols. You know what I mean? And that is a progressive thing. Like, we start with our, you know, basic, like, sun-worshipping religions, which makes sense. The sun is, like, the most visible, bigger-than-us archetype of, you know, there's the moon and the sun. There's binary right there. You know what I mean? There's the four seasons. There's the four elements. Like, these are, like, the meta versions of all the, you know, what's the four different letters of DNA or whatever, all of it, 12 months, the zodiacs. Yeah. Like, they're all just meta versions of all these things, you know, and that, and so, like, as a culture right now, like, we're coupled to our technology, but there's, like, problems with how we interact with it and what that turns into, you know what I mean? Like, what, bringing that kind of, like, dependent pathology or the, you know, our attention spans, which have been neutered by, like, you know, intentionally by the parts of ourselves that are, you know, exist in the world that are greedy. And so what the podcast I was listening to today was kind of like, you know, algorithms can only do what algorithms can do, and you don't, if it's like a lopsided relationship, then we fall into this wormhole where it's like, it, the only thing that it can do is optimize things. I mean, it can optimize. So, like, it's going to optimize for, like, revenue, you know what I mean? Or like, clicks and likes and things like that. And so then our social interactions, at least our digital ones, are shaped by that, by, you know, by getting as much, like, flow of currency into one thing, into whatever, you know, business you're interacting with. Like, it's trying to shape you, rather than it being a healthy relationship where you have, you know, separate existences. Where you're both growing and where you both have specializations, maybe, but not, like, you know, one thing that I did that I think was a good idea, I don't know, I don't know why I'm sharing it, but, I reorganized my phone, you know, like, the layout on it, based on, like, time of day, like, okay, during this time of day, these apps would make sense to use. The home one is just, like, tools, you know, and then, like, it's like, okay, these ones, like, you know, you want news or, like, input, like, you know, like, video, like, information, you know, type stuff during this time of day, and then, if you're going to, you know, have, like, social media, like, for later, you know what I mean, so it's not, like, a constant attention thing. But it's not, like, you know, constantly, like, shaking the magic eight ball. Yeah, distraction's a hard thing. It's really. Really, ideally, I think you engage your distractions like the same way you engage your work or meditation or yoga, you know. Keep your legs on and dialogue with it, you know. It's really easy to feel like overwhelmed in our world, you know. It's just so fast and changing so fast, and for me, like, you know, I guess I'm really competitive, which is funny because it manifests as, like, you know, failing all the time on purpose or subconsciously on purpose, you know. Like, I always put myself in the position of being, like, you know, on the bottom of the pecking order, and sometimes I catch myself like I did that because I want to reiterate what I know that people like think, you know what I mean? I want it's so dumb. Putting yourself in the place of dependency because it's familiar, because, you know, you think it's like safe. Everybody needs an enemy, right? That's true, but otherwise, I don't like saying it like that. Can't take it back, though. This is the internet. A friend once said that everything in existence is looking for a friend. All we gotta do is cultivate the confidence to show up as us. As autonomous, choice-making, creative us. And realize when your self-consciousness is causing you to puff out your chest or to sink in your chest. You know what I mean? Either one. They're the same thing. I don't know about you, but like I think I come across as rude sometimes, like to strangers, or like I think as if I think that I know better than them, or that I'm, you know, that I am better than them or smarter than them or whatever. And I wish when that happens, like I wish that they could see inside of me and realize that like I'm acting how I think I'm, you know, what I'm actually experiencing is that I'm in a room full of people that I think are probably cooler than me, you know? I just want them to, you know, accept me, and I mean really love, like everybody just wants to be like seen as they are, and have the freedom to be the version of themselves that they were as a kid, the playful, spontaneous version that, you know, was able to discover the magic in everything. And it's like, yeah, it's systemic, you know, like this thing that we feel or that I'm describing, like it's a property of everything, you know, it arises in relation to everything. Everything implies everything else. So, and it's like, you know, generational in some sense. Not like specifically even, but like our... It's just all the layers that we're trying to shed as humanity in the system of time. That was too much. Yeah, I agree. I was just that little trail where I'm trying to get to is like parenting. Like, man, I feel like right now, I feel like we have more information about, you know, emotional intelligence right now than ever before. And I get that, like, our lives are so crazy and fast that most people, like, you know, don't want to or don't think they need to think about things like that. But so many parents are just like recklessly passing on their worst patterns. Because you don't think about why you think about the things that you think. You don't think about, like, do I need to be offended about this? Like, why am I experiencing this? And what does it do to project it outside of myself? Does it change it? Or is this the story of my life? I guess I'm trying to, like, navigate my own emotions right now. Because I observed something, I observed this recently, and it made me so angry, and it continues to make me angry. And then I was like, just now it popped into my head, like, in the form of, like, you know, because when I was angry, I was like, well, like, remember to try to, like, imagine, you know, where that parent, you know, came from. And obviously, they're not the originator of this behavior. You know, try to remember that. And, like, obviously, like, I have a major problem with growth. I have a learning disability, too. You know what I mean? That's what these things are. They're learning disabilities. We just haven't paid any attention to, like, our emotional intelligence, you know, before. I mean, I don't know, you know what I mean? Like, it's becoming the job for us. And, Let's just do it this way. Every kid's an individual. Learning is not a standardized thing. And we learn through playing, through exploring, through, like, I mean, confidence. Confidence and play are completely related. And you see, like, 3-year-olds that can't play, that don't know how to play, that'll be hyper-concerned with the other kids, that'll be hyper-concerned with the attention being paid to them and, you know, what the variety of it and, like, and how they should respond to it and what they should say and what voice they should say it in. I just feel like it's 2018. Almost 2019. There's enough information that's free on the internet. Like, are you not paying attention? Why would anybody say something with the intent to create guilt, thinking that that would motivate any kind of anything, anything good? Why would somebody make the 2-year-old responsible for the heaviness between the, you know, estranged parents? Or make them feel guilty for peeing their pants? Or tell them why, you know, I'm talking about somebody specific, and if they ever hear it, like, you know, good. I'm not trying to be a dick, though. It's not because he's lazy. He doesn't know why. You should be the one that diagnoses why. Don't ask him why he does something that's obviously subconscious. The main responsibility is to get yourself together. To, like, your job, you have 2 jobs now. And I know that one of them is hard, providing. Like, that's such a hard job right now. I mean, in a lot of places, minimum wage is not even close, not even half of a living wage. So I understand that, like, that's a completely overwhelming job, and I'm not saying that I could do it better. Because I can't. I get it. But the second job is improving your understanding of just basic psychology. And seeing somebody. Everyone should see a psychologist. Doesn't mean that you know, it means that you're a human being. That's the problem with stigma, and we have to, on all sides of the fence, have to be careful about stigma with mental health, because I feel like there's 2 different versions of stigma. There's, you know, like, that's, you know, people that are weak or people that are, you know, whatever. And then there's people that take that and then, like, turn that into, like, you know, they glorify it. Oh, yeah, I'm weak. Yeah, like, or I've got so much wrong with me, or I can't do, you know, or it's so-and-so's fault or whatever. that's just creating this, that's strengthening the stigma. That's a polarity to the former. We are very much at a breaking point, aren't we? There's so many tensions, like there's like the, I mean, just the climate. I don't mean just climate, the environment. The environment's in deadly peril. And yet on the other side, there's innovative thinkers that like have the ideas sufficient to, you know, save it. Using drones to plant trees, rehabilitating the ocean, saving the bees, using mushrooms. I mean, there's plenty of there's plenty of saviors coming out of humanity. There's also all these like monsters. Everything's moving so fast, and it's so, you know, it's just this, though. Here's a Terence McKenna quote, and I don't do many of them. Like, I don't think about him or his work a lot, but this is like the most important one. He said that we've invented a new kind of sin, and it's that we steal the future from our children. And that's in many ways. That's not just environmentally. It's psychologically, if we're lazy, you know. If we're so lazy as to say that they're being lazy when they're a 2-year-old. A 2-year-old is lazy. Only job is to play, and kids have no problem playing unless they're sick. So he's not lazy, he's sick. I'm looking at two beautiful woodpeckers right now. We got to a point where in our history where things were so good and it was so easy that we couldn't help it. And we started to steal the future from our children without realizing it subconsciously. And it's not that it was even a bad thing, because it was for a reason. It was so that we could come to this critical mass where Donald Trump is the president, where we live in this weird, like, on the verge of dystopian, on the verge of utopian place. It's so bizarre. Our single job is to give the future back to our children in every way. We can't live without causing damage, you know what I mean? That sentence doesn't matter, but I once said that to live is to both endure and to cause pain. To evolve is to do it consciously and with care, you know, compassion. We have to use evidence. We have to use our sciences, our technology as a tool to navigate these problems. We cannot use our ideology from that. We cannot assume that the way that we feel and the things that we think are right because we think them and we feel them. And that's what it is to come to the I Ching or a set of tarot cards and expect it to do something that, you know, you can't do on your own. And not as an affirming partner or somebody that you delegate certain parts of yourself to, and vice versa. We got to be really, really careful with religion. If it's, if it gives you personal meaning that doesn't cause you to violate what you know from science, what you know from psychology, it should affirm those things. It should work tandem with those things. If it's a meaningful system, or if it gives you real, like, meaning, it shouldn't interfere with any of those things. It shouldn't be like, the only way. I'm sorry, but it shouldn't be the only way. Or you should see... Here's the one thing I want. I gotta be careful with this. The one thing that I need to give to Christianity in my mind, like inside of myself, and for anybody that identifies that way and is listening, and I need to because it's in my heart, like not because like I, you know, when the Bible says the word or like the word, you know, like in John, it can't be talking about the Bible, because that's not possible. It's talking about an esoteric concept called the Logos, and it makes it synonymous with Christ, with Christ consciousness. And that is living. It's a living thing that exists outside of time. And if it exists outside of time, then it permeates time. What you'll find is that a lot of different mythologies and stuff like that contain those same like ideas and archetypes. And the reason is not because, you know, like the way that an atheist would put it is like, oh, clearly Jesus wasn't real because other people were born of a virgin, or other people baptized with water or walked on water, stuff like that. That doesn't mean that that didn't happen. That means that that story is bigger than that mythos. That parable seems to permeate all humanity. And so what you have to realize is that it's not a literal. And also, this book was canonized in the 1800s by people who were a sect of the original Christianity, the original, you know, they were a sect, they were a subsect. So it'd be like if today the, let's just pick a, you know, if today every single Christian church was forced to, you know, accept as ultimate truth the Southern Baptist doctrine as it's written word for word. Well, that's not fair. We don't think that, you know, baptism's that important. Jesus, you know? You know what I'm saying? The point is, you know, and I went too deep in there. I went too deep. But the point is, if this word, you know, is living, if these archetypes are, if they permeate everything, if Christ consciousness is a thing that's beyond, you know, Jesus of Nazareth. And he thought that it was, because he told the people after him that they would experience the same thing. He taught that the kingdom was within. He taught that everybody had that direct link, and that, yeah, it's your heart. And you can see it in art, you know. You can see him. It doesn't matter. The point is, you gotta understand that other people are experiencing the exact same thing. Like anything that's valuable that you're experiencing, and not just conceptual, but everyone else is experiencing it with their own thing. We gotta tear down that wall. The version of us that erects walls is the one that's the president. And whether or not you voted for him is fine, like, and whether or not, you know, you think Hillary was worse doesn't matter. Look at him as a human being. Does that represent you? Does that represent your heart? The leader of the body is the heart. It's supposed to be the heart. The leader of the collective is supposed to represent your heart. I've met lots of people who represent my heart to me. And because I voted for Trump inside myself, so to speak, I didn't vote. Because I gave more weight to my analytical and frightened mind, I didn't trust the love that they gave me. And that is a learning disability. And it's okay to have a learning disability. But you still have to start learning. You gotta, because there's no neutrality. There isn't. this path is terrifying sometimes. And like for me, it was when I realized like the weight of choice, it made me want to not, you know, it made me want to die. Because it's so much. It feels like every, you know, as within, so without, so it feels like you're responsible for everything in the world, you know? I had a friend that was, you know, diagnosed as paranoid schizophrenic, and it killed him. He had a brain aneurysm because he felt so responsible for the world. But here's the thing. The psychotic drowns in the same waters that the mystic learns to swim in. And our culture is, there's so much information that we're on psychedelics. It feels like we're on psychedelics. That's why I talk about, you know, when the internet is talking to you, you know, is it really that there's a, you know, it's so often so specific that it's like, is there really like one person assigned to you to send you all the advertisements and stuff that are perfectly tailored to you? I mean, it's collecting data all the time, but you know what I mean? It's waking up because everything's waking up because there's just so much feedback happening in so many directions. It's this light bulb coming on. It's this singularity. And to align yourself just sounds like so hard and so much. And it feels like, you know, like I talked about in two episodes ago or whatever, it feels like you're gonna die if you do it right. Like, or like not exist anymore. But really it's that you'll be a conduit. Your will align with the will of the universe. That's what trust does. Trust gives in, gives up, but like doesn't, you know? It's a very active giving up. And I feel like, you know, the weird thing about trying to do this is like, I've described myself as Icarus, you know, before. And I feel that pretty heavily. It's like, I feel like I went for the highest goal. And I got real close, and then I, you know, my impatience and my, like, fear caused me to catastrophically drop and my capacities even to learn, like, I'm in a worse place than I started. Neurologically, like, I'm pretty crippled right now. And it's weird, it's so weird to have had, you know, because all this is just neural pathways, it's just, you know, you've heard it described this way, like, the more water that runs down a specific canyon, like, the more worn that one gets, and those are your base, you know, those are where it's gonna go, like, normally, but, like, then you do something like have a psychedelic experience, or, like, have a near-death experience, or experience the loss of a loved one, or give birth, or push your body beyond its capacity through some physical modality, or create, use art. Look, there's 1,000,000,000 paths, but you do one of these things and it opens up new pathways and your brain lights up like a light bulb, and you suddenly know the potentials. You suddenly know that you could be better. You know what you could be. And for me, like, I came back down, I was like, where to go? And, like, I got addicted to, you know, that flood. But, when it's flooded, that doesn't do anything to erode new paths. I mean, they're full, but everything's full. I don't know. The ability to harmonize with other people, with all other people, is just critical. And it's critical that all of our systems, all of our programs start to fall in line with that, that we defrag it, that we... This is a virus. This sense of separation is a virus. It's weird that it produces so much, like the singularity produces so much duality, or that the ineffable causes us to F so much. I don't know, I don't know. Why am I talking, you know, in one way, and then another way, like, I don't know, I have to. And I feel like I've got to, like, sum this up in the right way and say the right thing, and that's not true. I can hear leaves rustling on the wind. I can see plastic flapping, and I'm talking, and all three of them are nature. I guess that's it. I gotta do it, but I got a good idea. So, remember that whatever you pour your attention into expands. You pour your attention into the patterns that make up your history will just repeat and repeat and repeat. And that's what Black Mirror is about. And it's not, it's fine if, you know, that's fine. Do it. But I'm telling you, don't. Because if you pour your attention into the thing that you love the most, that relates to the thing that you love the most when you're a child, if you can start playing and learn how to play confidently and learn that your play can be part of everything getting better, and believe that and trust that and know that. Like, know it as hard as you can and fake it till you make it and consume the right kind of media and don't lean on it, but walk with it. Walk next to it. I promise you that the law of attraction is not just like, it's one of those things that, you know, just like the parables that permeate several different mythos do so because they exist in a higher dimension. Yeah, like there's a lot of self-help books and like that makes it kind of not cool. But it's a fundamental physical, yeah, we'll go with that, component of life. And if you can get all your little cells to vibrate in the direction that you love, and you keep learning how to love, I swear to you that your life will get better. Well, let's not even say it like that. I swear to you that it'll matter. Huh? It'll materialize. So what alchemy is to turn vibration, specifically love, into matter. Or however you want to imagine it, however you want to explain it, it doesn't matter if your mind is completely rational. It really doesn't. As long as you put that in service to your heart. And again, I'm certainly not speaking as an expert, just as somebody who got handed a whole lot of, like, sorry, it's not, I don't mean to laugh like that, but I just remembered what somebody once said to me. It said that it's, it told me that it was possible for me to have a relationship, a close relationship with every single person that ever existed. And I was like, what the hell? And now, looking backwards and, you know, how many zodiac signs are there and how many, you know. And ultimately, we're all one self. So I really, anytime you meet somebody, you're meeting God in drag, as it were, as Ram Dass says. And so if that's the case, there's really, you know, so many cloths that people can be cut from, so many colors that people can, you know, embody. I really do feel like I've met all of them. I really feel like I've met all of you. And all of you have given me, every single one of you has given me love and lessons, specific lessons because of your specific brand of love. I have nothing to complain about, and it's weird because like the lack of trust is the lack of trust in the universe, in your fellow man and woman, is a learning disability that prevents you from growing in any way at all. And it's like I had to get to a point where I was the only person left to love before I would do it, because I was like, will you show me love? Subconsciously, this is like at the deepest subconscious level, I found the people that I like believed in, that I like dream, it felt like I dreamed all of you up as a child, like all of the people that were my heroes in fiction materialized at one point or another in my life, and you were all of them. And each of you loved me. But there was this code deep inside of me that said, love is not trustworthy. And so it had this weird effect, and I heard this, I can't remember where, on some type of psychology podcast or something like that, but that if you have self-doubt and somebody says something that is contrary to that self-doubt, it actually will affirm that doubt in your mind, because it'll create a feedback loop where you say, part of you says, oh good, like it's true that they love me, and then, you know, what I talked about with duality or polarity, like across the pond from that, inside of yourself, another entity pops up and says, they're lying, it's a trap, you know. That's what I meant when I said the schizophrenic drowns in the waters that the mystic swims in. You experience it, but your perspective on it is fear instead of trust. And obviously, when I say you, I mean me. And that perpetuates itself. It becomes the path, the neurological path that gets more worn. And so I desired it so much. I desired love so much that I've met every single person in the world. If you're listening to this, I know you. I know one of your versions at the very least. And every single one of you gave me what I asked for, which was a big fat scoop of love. But here's the thing. If you do not love yourself, you'll experience the love of other people as traumatic on some level. Even if it's like just barely, you know? The more they love you, the more traumatic it will be. And so you can't skip that step. You can't ever skip steps. Everything is an organic process. Not organic like USTA organic, but organic. I'm sorry. Your number one job, if you don't have kids, is to learn how to love yourself and to raise your emotional intelligence. If you have kids, that's your tied for first place job, tied with, you know, provide a safe environment for them. You love yourself, then you've got a baseline from which to interact with other people, and you can begin to pour your love, because it's not limited. It's not romantic either, like our idea of love. A friend once told me that real love is just love. It's just the energy of love, and you experience it without attachment. You know, it's just something. It's like being cold or being warm. The more of it you have, the more of it you can channel into the things that you believe in. The more it can go around you. If you don't love yourself, if you don't invest love in yourself and learn how to change those patterns, then there's nothing. We have to change everything. But you have to change one thing. That's been super long, so if anybody hung into the whole thing, thank you for loving me. Yeah, and I That's the thing, is that I'm doing it for me. I really am. Because I don't, you know. I'm just trying to slow down time inside myself and actually see, you know. That's it, I guess. Drink lots of water. Take care of yourself. Think about food. Think about all these things. Don't get sucked into the machine of, like, you know, I can. It's so easy to create conspiracy theories. And what I mean is, like, that they're there, but that, like, that's also not how you dispel them. You see what I'm saying? Like, it's the microscope thing. Anything you look into, but, like, that's a fear thing. Like, to pour it that way is, like, it becomes a learning disability if you don't keep your legs on and understand what it is, you know. Because what we, you know, attention is creation. What was I even saying? So much of the system that we're trying to transit out of is just garbage. Like, I was thinking about coin change. Coin change is, like, designed to keep you poor. Fast food is designed to keep you poor. Like, the way that jobs are and that, you know, and the ideology of what you're supposed to buy when is designed to keep you poor. And, you know, is there an Illuminati doing that? No, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The point is, like, that we're allowing ourselves to be infected by this pattern, this virus, that shapes our experience of life and our idea of what is reality. Reality changes when we change our mind. Don't say, this is reality and I'll mess with that on the side. I'll mess with, you know, growth on the side. No, like, it'll, you gotta jump on the wave and then ride it. I promise that's how it works. We can't assume that our version of reality is, in capital letters, the reality. Because then we just Groundhog's Day it. Don't do that. I don't really know what else to say. And I keep saying that, and then I go on a tangent. Then I'm like, oh, that was a weird thing to leave it on. But yeah, this is just an addiction to control. It's just a control problem, I mean, of, you know, wanting to have a bow on everything at the end. That's the advertising mentality. That's, you know, that's the mentality that I was just describing. We want to have this visual of, you know, like when I say the word conduit, and I borrowed it from a friend, but I just get this visual of just some, like, just opening my mouth, like, really, really, really wide, like, wider than, like, cartoon wide, and just having just crystal clean water just shooting out of my mouth in a steady flow, you know? I don't know. And maybe it's just me. Maybe nobody relates to it when I say like that. There's a fear of becoming that. There's a fear of aligning yourself with, you know, with divinity. Or maybe that's common to everyone, you know. But it's the highest goal, and it's the only thing that, you know. There's no point in coming here and taking on a life, you know, and being born just to spend time in a circle. There's just no point to do it. Don't get tricked by anything labeled supposed to. Ask it questions inside of yourself. See where it comes from, because it's part of you, you know? It's part of us. Everything within manifests without. Everything above manifests below. And the universe doesn't tolerate viruses for very long. We have to find our geometry, you know? We have to find our equanimity with all things. And remember from the model of the solar system, we're not going in a circle. Like, we are going in a circle, but the sun is flying through space. And we're corkscrewing around it. So we experience seasons, we experience cyclical things, but we're also going forward. And if we change what's happening right now, we change what's happening next year. And what's happening the year after that, we permanently change if we change our minds. Okay, I don't know. I don't know. I don't have anything else. I already said